Thank you, Buzz, for directing us in the singing. Thank you, Stuart, for the prayer. I'm thankful for all of you that are here, especially if you're visiting with us. We want to invite you back with us any opportunity that you have to come and study with us here, to worship. We pray that everything we do is in accordance with God's will, and we hope and pray that everything that we do is an encouragement to each of us and is uplifting to each of us. It's beneficial for us to have been here. I would invite you tonight to take out your Bibles and follow along. We'll be turning to several passages tonight, reading those and seeing what we can glean from God's Word. We'll be beginning tonight in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. And there we have a familiar story to many of us, the story of Jacob and Esau. Many of us remember specifically what happened between these two twin brothers. Verse 29 there of Genesis chapter 25 says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look at me, or look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." This is a familiar story to all of us. Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. We think about what that meant, what it was that Esau was doing. What was he thinking? Many of you know that I teach our high school boys and girls class. We talked about this passage for a short time Wednesday night. One of our teenagers brought up a familiar commercial series that's on TV. Those commercials say, "You're not you when you're hungry." Sometimes we act in ways that we normally wouldn't when we're hungry. Sometimes we make bad decisions when we're hungry. Commercial then goes on to say, "Grab a Snickers." And how different that story might be if Esau had only had a Snickers. We talk about the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But if Esau had only had a Snickers, we might refer to him. Instead, we have this negative idea of Esau, and that's how we remember him. We remember him for making this decision. Think about all of the things that Isaac, his father, had. The wealth that he had. The land that he had and would gain. Think about what Esau gave up. Estimates are that Isaac's fortune would have been, in today's money, in the billions. So it's not a stretch for us to say that Esau sold his birthright, his portion of that, a $1 billion bowl of peas. It could easily be said that this is one of, if not the most, short-sighted decision ever made. Tonight I'd like for us to think about us being short-sighted. We make spiritually short-sighted decisions all the time. Every day we look at things in a way that we shouldn't. we view ourselves and our church in a way that we shouldn't. I'd like for us to think about some of those things this evening. Tonight, it's short-sighted if you don't think the local church matters. You know, so many people are staying home from church. So many people are staying home and watching church on their computer. Being members of satellite churches. I think that's short-sighted. I think the Scripture teaches us that the local church is important. And the local church matters. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." The local church matters. We matter to this community. We should matter. We should be doing things here that makes us relevant to the community. The community should notice who we are and what we stand for. And if we're not working that way as a local church, we're being short-sighted. We're short-sighted if we think that being here doesn't matter. It's a problem that churches all around the world deal with. Hundreds of people who are at church on Sunday morning don't come back on Sunday night. That leads to not being here on Wednesday night. And not being here at all. But being here matters. Being here matters not only to us, but to others. Hebrews 10:24 is a verse that we read often. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Being here matters. If we think, "I'm the only one that's going to miss me. No one's going to miss me being there. I'm the only one that's going to know." We're being short-sighted. We're not thinking about the other people that we encourage. The other people that we influence by being here. By taking part in our services. We're short-sighted if we don't think turning to Scripture matters. You know, every time I stand before you, I try to encourage you to take out your Bibles. That's a twofold. There's a twofold reason to that. One, I want us to turn together. I want us to study. I want us to learn. I want us to correct each other if one of us is wrong. But the second part of that is that it's encouraging. It's encouraging as a preacher or a teacher to see people following along. It's encouraging to hear the pages of Bibles turning. You know that sound? It's very distinct. You probably have it in your memory. You know exactly what it sounds like to hear someone beside you turning the pages in their Bible. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." The people there were opening their Bibles. They weren't just following along, but they were going home. They were taking out their Bibles, or they were taking out Scripture and searching it, finding truth in it. We can encourage each other in doing the same. It's an encouraging thing to have your child sit beside you and see them open up their Bible. See them follow along. Take notes as the preacher speaks. Or to come home with notes from class. We don't have to be a child to be that encouragement. We can do that for each other, no matter how old we are. We're short-sighted if we think that having priorities doesn't matter. Priorities in our life that we try to live up to. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 there, Christ says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In the high school class, we talk a lot about priorities. They probably get sick of talking about priorities. We talk about mythical priorities and actual priorities. We can all make that list in our heads. You know, if we were making that list of what our priorities are, most of our list would probably look the same. God, family, friends, work, and on and on. Those are mythical priorities. Those are what we set and what we strive for. But when we're truly honest with ourselves and we actually examine ourselves, we make that list of actual priorities. How does it measure up? Because God may not be first on our actual priority list. Something else may come before him. But priorities are important. And we're being short-sighted if we think that they're not. We're being short-sighted if you think you don't matter. We've talked about the local church being important. The church is important to this community. And all of us here are part of this church. And we all play a role. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." We all are important. I think that's what happens sometimes when we think about missing church or thinking about not taking a part. We think, you know, it doesn't really matter if I do it. They'll never miss me. Someone else will do it if I don't. each of us is important. And each of us has a part to play. We're being short-sighted if we think that our part isn't important. So let's think for a second about who's here. You look around. There are some people here who are very old. Some people here who are very young. There are widowers and widows. There are couples here who are newlyweds. There are male and female. There's people here who are a different race than you are. There are people here who are very wealthy. And there are people who are very poor. And when we leave this building, the world cares about that. The world cares about your gender or your race. The world cares about your economic status. But here, it doesn't matter at all. What's important here is that we do our part. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Stuart spoke last week, talked about giving our best. That's what God wants from us. It doesn't matter who we are or what our background is. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. God wants us to do our best. God wants us to give Him our best. We have to work together in order to do that. But we're short-sighted if we think that there won't be any problems. You know, that's just human nature as we deal with one another. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we have issues between each other. Sometimes we have things that we have to work through. But we can do that when we have a common goal. Proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4 says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox." It says, you want a clean barn? Don't put an ox in there. That thing will stay clean. You want to get some work done? Better go get you an ox. And the church is the same way. You want a church with no problems? You got an empty church. There's no one here. But you want work done? We've all got to be here. We've all got to be doing our part. We've all got to be working together. And there may be messes to clean up. There may be problems that we have to deal with. But we can. We can when we're working toward that common goal. You know, many times you hear people say, you know, the gospel just doesn't reach people anymore. We're being short-sighted if we think the gospel is the problem. The gospel is for everyone. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The gospel is for everyone. And the gospel isn't the problem when it comes to reaching people. We have to adapt. Sometimes our methods may have to change. That doesn't mean the gospel changes. But sometimes the way we reach people has to change. We have to get back to a place like they were in Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 there says, "Then those who received gladly His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Those who gladly received His word. We have to present the gospel to people in such a way that they understand that they can't live without it. So what about Esau? What do we know about Esau? We know a little, but not really a whole lot. We know he's the father of the Edomites. We know a little about those people. But Esau goes on and really isn't mentioned that much anymore. And just like as we began, if I mention his name, there's really only one thing that you think of. It's only mentioned two times in the New Testament. One of those times is in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 16 there says, "Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterwards he wanted his father's blessing. He was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears." The Hebrew writer remembers Esau as a godless man, as someone who was more focused on worldly things than spiritual things. We remember Esau as being short-sighted, missing the big picture. What a sad remembrance that is. How sad it would be for us to be remembered that way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. There the Christian virtues are mentioned. Verse 5 there says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, short-sighted, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." What's interesting is Peter is talking about the characteristics that we're to have as Christians. He uses our word there in verse 9, short-sighted. But really all of verse 9 talks about the attitude that this person has if they don't have these Christian virtues. Peter there says he's blind. He's short-sighted. He's forgotten. And really that's kind of past, present, future. He's blind to the blessings that he has in front of him. The things that God has given him every day. He's short-sighted to the future, to looking towards that reward that God has promised. He's forgetful. He's forgetful of all the sin that God has already forgiven him of. Peter encourages us to strive to be this type of person. Not one that's forgetful. Not one that's blind or short-sighted. But one that's striving to do better. Striving to improve themselves. Jesus speaks of being short-sighted himself. Matthew chapter 24, verses 48 through 51. Jesus says, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus says, don't be short-sighted. Understand that there is something past this world. The things that we do, the things that God wants us to do, have purpose. We should live our lives every day striving to live in accordance with His will. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, you understand the difference between right and wrong, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would invite you. If you're here and you are a Christian but you have public sin in your life that you need to make correction of, if there's any way we can help you, we would invite you to come while together we stand.